So faith is not a guarantee of wonderful life circumstances. Faith is about that hope in eternity.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
We can be comforted and encouraged today by the fact that although Lou is absent from the body, he is what? Present with the Lord. And that he is now experiencing the reality of eternal life, that hope of eternal life. And one day soon, God will raise his bodily remains, and he will refashion them, and he will clothe them with glorious immortality, no longer subject to sorrow or pain or death. And we grieve his loss here today, but as the scriptures assure us, we do not need to grieve as those who have no hope, for our hope is in Christ. Lou believed that Jesus died and rose again. For him, his trust and confidence was in Christ. And for the believer in Christ, Scripture promises boldly and clearly forgiveness for sin, eternal life in God's presence, holiness forever, the resurrection of the body, a new heaven and new earth, and all of this God's gift received by faith. Scripture also assures us that Jesus is coming again. And when he does, he will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in him, including Lou. So he said Lou was a man of faith. And in reflecting on that, my mind immediately went to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that remarkable chapter on faith. And in this chapter, we see many points about faith. What is it? I'd like to reflect on faith, this assurance and conviction, that is faith. That first of all, faith is a settled confidence, in God's promises. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. As I've said before, that sometimes the scriptures use words, those words need to be properly defined for us to understand what it's saying. One of those is that word hope. That when the scriptures talk about hope, it doesn't mean the way we usually use that word hope. When we use the word hope, we think something that may or may not happen, that we'd like it to happen, we hope it happens. I know for Lou and B and myself and many of us, we hoped the Cubs would win the World Series, didn't we? We've been hoping a long time. We may be hoping a lot longer, we don't know. But that's not the kind of hope that the Bible's talking about when it says hope. See, for in the scriptures, hope is something that is absolute and sure and certain, that is rooted in the very nature and character of God himself. A promise from God of something that absolutely will happen, it just hasn't happened yet. And so when the scriptures talk about hope and the hope of eternal life, it's not a vague desire or wish that may or may not happen. It's absolute and assured, settled. It's confident. We can have settled confidence because it will happen. So it's the assurance of things hoped for. And it's the conviction of things not seen. It's things, again, that have not happened yet. But again, it is rooted in the character of God, his faithfulness, and his power. You know, if God had all power but was not faithful, we couldn't have hope. Or if he was good but did not have all power, we couldn't have hope. But because he is good, because he has all power, because he is a faithful God, a holy and righteous God, who does what he says he will do. Therefore, we can have hope. We can have settled confidence. Faith is that settled confidence in God's promises. And Lou understood that. And he had that settled confidence in God's promises. This chapter also tells us that faith is pleasing. It's pleasing to God. Goes on to say then, in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So it's a confidence that, yes, God really is there, but also, though, he's there and he rewards those who seek him. That doesn't mean if you seek him, everything in life is going to be great. One day is going to be, the next day is going to be better yet. Every day, better and better and better. That's not the promise of Scripture. But it does say that he is good. He is eternally good to those who seek him. And Lou knew that. And Lou understood that. And he looked forward to that hope in Christ. Eternal reward in Christ. So faith is settled confidence in God's promises. It is pleasing. Faith is pleasing to God. But this chapter also, though, says something that I hope is encouraging to each one of us here. I know it's very encouraging to me. And that is that faith is found in imperfect people. How many of you know that here, that faith is found in imperfect people? You know, I haven't met a perfect person yet. Well, except for one. I have met one perfect person. The Savior, the Lord Jesus. But he's the only perfect person I've ever known. So people of faith are not perfect people. Free from flaws, even free from doubts. That's a part of the process of growing in faith. But faith is found in imperfect people. You read through this list of heroes of the faith. People commended, held up as examples for their faith. You look at those names, and yet there's not one perfect person among them. In fact, some of them, we might kind of question what they're even doing on that list, right? Yeah, I don't see any perfect. Abraham, is Abraham a perfect man? No, he wasn't. He was a man of faith, but he failed at times in his faith, didn't he? Jacob. Jacob's name, he was the deceiver. And he had to learn some hard lessons about faith and about trusting God. Moses, was Moses a man of perfect faith? No, he was not. He had failed miserably earlier in his life, and then even later in life, he was disobedient to God in front of the people, and God disciplined him by saying, "You may not enter the promised land." Samson. How many of you are surprised Samson is on the list when you know his story, right? And David, King David, a great man of faith, and yet we know what he did as well, don't we? Adultery, murder. And yet God was gracious to him. So faith is, it's settled confidence in God's promises. Faith is pleasing to God, and faith is found, though, in imperfect people. Not a perfect one among us. It's also true, though, that faith is not a guarantee. Faith is not a guarantee of wonderful life circumstances. How many of you have found that out, have discovered that? We're subject to trials and tribulations, and sometimes even persecution for that very faith. I love the raw honesty of the Scriptures. One of the reasons why I believe that this is the Word of God, there are many, but one of the reasons is it's absolutely truthful in describing the human condition and in describing so many aspects of life. We see what the Scriptures say and how it rings true again and again and again. And the Bible does not present the life of faith as a trouble-free existence. one blessing after another. But it acknowledges the reality that life is hard. Life in this fallen world is hard, even for the people of God, even for people of faith. We see circumstances that sound wonderful. It goes on to say in verse 32, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, and women received back their dead by resurrection." Boy, this sounds great, doesn't it? One victory to the next. And this is the life of faith. And yet, what does it go on to say? No sooner does it say women receive back their dead by resurrection, immediately says some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Tradition says that's a reference to the prophet Isaiah. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So faith is not a guarantee of wonderful life circumstances. Faith is about that hope in eternity and the blessing of God's presence in the here and now, regardless of circumstances. So faith is settled confidence in God's promises. Faith is pleasing to God. Faith is found in imperfect people like me and us here, many of us here. Faith is not a guarantee of wonderful life circumstances. But what faith also does is verses 39 and 40 tell us, faith awaits the final victory. Scriptures go on to say, and all of these persons, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. What does it mean? Did God fail? No, he's saying, in time they will, but at that time they did not receive everything that God has promised. None of us here have. But God isn't finished yet. He says, they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. In other words, history is leading somewhere. The final culmination of all things in Christ. The saints of the Old Testament time, the believers of Old Testament time, the believers of history, the believers of today. Together we will all be made perfect. And this is the hope of faith. Well, I believe that now Lou has joined that great cloud of witnesses, because from that chapter we go immediately into the next, where it says this in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So these men and women of faith are in that great cloud of witnesses. Lou has joined that great cloud of witnesses. I think if he could speak to us now, he would encourage us on, just as the writer in Hebrews 12 does. He would encourage us on. I want to put an image up here that is going to be familiar to many of us here, no doubt. How do you know this one? That is the Cubs win flag, the W flag, the win flag. If you know anything about Cubs history, you know that when the Cubs win, that flag flies outside of Wrigley Field on that day. When they lose, there's a different one with an L on it. But this tradition goes back many, many decades. And it was a way for people who were coming home from work, they could look at, and who lived in the neighborhood, they could look and they could see, well, what happened today? Oh, the Cubs won today. The Cubs lost today. Well, I had the joy of seeing that W flag go up on a number of occasions with B and Lou. Sometimes the L, though, too. But this W is the flag of victory. The flag of victory. Well, you know, Jesus has won the final victory, the ultimate victory. And Lou shares in that final victory. So I thought it would be fitting as we are reflecting on Lou and his life, for all of our fond memories of him, to take away once again that great encouragement that we have, that he, in Christ, is now celebrating that victory because Jesus won, Lou has won with him in Christ. You know, there is a song I've always liked. It's by a band called Petra. How many of you know the band Petra? All right. Well, they have a song called Grave Robber. Wonderful words. It says, they say this, there is a step that we all take alone, an appointment we have with the great unknown. Like a vapor, this life is just waiting to pass, like the flowers that fade, like the withering grass. But life seems so long and death so complete, and the grave an impossible potion to cheat. But there is one who has been there and still lives to tell. There is one who has been through both heaven and hell. And the grave will come up empty-handed the day Jesus will come and steal us away. Where is the sting? Tell me, where is the bite when the grave robber comes like a thief in the night? Where is the victory? Where is the prize when the grave robber comes and death finally dies? Many still mourn and many still weep for those that they love who have fallen asleep. But we have this hope, though our hearts may still ache. Just one shout from above and they will all awake. And in the reunion of joy we will see death will be swallowed in sweet victory. And when the last enemy is done, from the dust will come a song. Those asleep will be awakened, not a one will be forsaken. He shall wipe away our tears. He will steal away our fears. There will be no sad tomorrow. There will be no pain or sorrow. Jesus has won that final victory. And Lou, joined by faith in Christ, is sharing in that victory and will win through to the final victory with Christ. That's our encouragement here today. Let's pray. Eternal God, you are the consolation and the support of all who trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would grant your sustaining strength to these grieving hearts who sorrow today. Enable us, Lord, to look beyond this earthly life and help us to see the things that are eternal. Grant that we may follow with true faith where you lead, so that when our days are finished upon this earth, we will find our eternal home with you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of comfort. And I pray that you would help each one of us to turn to you and receive your consolation. May Christ be real and personal to each one of us. Be gracious to us today and all the days of our lives. Lord, we do thank you for our brother, our friend, Lou. We thank you that he now is beholding face to face that which is to us only looking through a glass darkly. Thank you that he is absent from the body but present with you. And one day, Lord, thank you that you will raise those mortal remains, fashion them anew with glorious power and immortality. Thank you that we share this hope by faith. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, we have sought today to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have sought to honor the memory of Lou. Lou served honorably with the United States Army, and present with us today are members of our armed forces here to honor his service.